the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
With 2024 set to be the biggest global election year in history, as more than 60 countries representing half the world's population go to the polls, it seems employers are perhaps discouraging employees from bringing their politics into work. This is a topic that I'm going to talk to now with Robert McGillifarig, who's founder and CEO of Skillstack, and we'd like to hear your opinions on it as well. You can text us your views on 51551. Robert, first of all, how contentious an issue is this becoming for companies, for employers, and people who run those companies? What do they say to their employees if there's growing tension around political issues?
Well, if you look at what they have said to employees this last 10, 15 years, Richard, they've asked them to bring all of themselves to work. And when that comes down to religion and politics, that's a very difficult thing to ask. And I think on the flip side, employees have looked to their employers to reflect their values into the society in which they exist. And when those two things collide, it becomes very, very difficult to navigate. I'll give you one example. So if you look at the same-sex marriage referendum, when the majority of employees looked to protect the minority, they supported it and they expected their employer to reflect that throughout that time in Irish society. And they did. They mobilised and they actively supported in that referendum. But if you look at where that kind of collides with what's happening in society, and our workforce is simply reflective of what's happening in society, and we've seen a polarisation within society on both sides of the Atlantic. And when that happens, I think it's a very difficult thing for employers to ask their employees to bring all of themselves to work.
But they have encouraged diversity. Diversity mm-hmm. in a workforce is a really, really good thing. It adds a whole mix of people, mix of stories, mix of backgrounds and perspectives. But inevitably, when there are contentious issues, let's say, for example, Israel and Gaza, the people will have different views. Now, the company can say, we're not trying to clamp down on free speech. If people want to talk about this stuff, then they have to be free to talk about it. But they might say, oh, we're going to have a policy about not using company emails or mm-hmm. not using social media platforms. Where does all of that lie?
Well, there's tension there, isn't there? There's tension between free speech and psychological safety in the workplace, because that's ultimately what it boils down to. And there's a couple of examples of that. So a guy who works here in Dublin for a US multinational company, he went over to Texas, and one of his colleagues over there gave him a MAGA hat, and it was completely acceptable to wear the MAGA hat in Texas. He came back to the Dublin headquarters and he wore it in. By lunchtime, HR called him, Richard, and there was three complaints that three people in the company were offended by him wearing the hat. And more recently, you mentioned the conflict in the Middle East. There's an Israeli company, Wix, who sacked one of their employees who posted comments that were inflammatory on social media. So there's real tension between this, and I think if there's not safety and psychological safety built around trust, respect and understanding and compassion, it becomes a very difficult thing to do.
One of the real problems of this is that companies will find themselves pulling back on policies that they may have had around diversity, because they just don't want things like this to blow up. And that surely would be a negative step. But particularly in America, that's the kind of thing that's happening.
Isn't it? And it's important to get kind of perspective on this as well, Richard. Like, we read headlines and quite often we don't read the article. And quite often the headline that creates the headline is the pushback on DEI. So you'll see it in Florida, for example. So again, Florida University, they sacked their DEI, Diversity, Equality and Inclusion team. And in an environment where there's pressure on budget, where we've gone through a year of cutbacks and layoffs, sometimes the DEI folks are an easy kind of number to reduce or redeploy. And it's important that we look beyond the headline. But there have been companies like Coinbase who came out very early, in fact, and they pushed back on all DEI initiatives and programs. And they asked their people to focus on the customer and to leave their personal views at the doorstep when they came to work.
Is that the way to solve this? Because there's an inbuilt contradiction in that as well.
Absolutely not.
What is the way? How should it be solved? How should it be tackled?
Well, that's a complex question, Richard, but let me share my view. So I think it's critically important that we stand up and we protect the interests of the minorities, Like, there's no question in my mind. But how do we do that respectfully? And how do we do that in a very practical way? And how do we reframe the question of DEI to fit into today's society? And I think it's two things. One, we need to be very clear around policy, around permission, because permission drives behaviour. If you look at any big kind of social change, it's been around policy, like stopping smoking in the workplace. We didn't expect that to happen. Where permission was taken away and it happened. And then on the flip side, we need to invest heavily in skills development, soft skills development, leadership skills development. And let me give you one example, empathy, and look at like compassion in the workplace. Quite often we ask people to step into my shoes to see it through my lens. But if we're taking a perspective from our personal lens to look into your lens, I carry all of my privilege that's invisible to me. So a third lens is quite often the answer.
Unfortunately, there seems to be less empathy around when it comes to people having different views about all kinds of things that may well be going on the other side of the world. But thank you very much for that. Robert McGillifarig, founder and CEO of Skillstack. Thank you for joining us on the programme.